This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome in. It is a huge afternoon and evening in local sports. We have some Rangers extra innings with you. Gavin Dawson and Eric Chiafalo here at HQ, 75 and Fitzhugh. Broadus and Wolchuk are up at the Star getting ready for the Cowboys draft show, which is coming up at 6 o'clock right here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Rangers fall to the M's 4-3, and Jared Sandler joins us here to talk a little bit more about it before we get into our evening of sports. And good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. Excited for tonight. Hope you guys are as well.
Yes, sir. A lot of things to be stoked about. I mean, a little unfortunate, I thought, with the Rangers today, how many hard-hit balls they had. Just couldn't find a gap, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, I thought they had some really good at-bats against Luis Castillo early on, and it sort of felt like a game in which the Rangers were going to break through and maybe have a big inning and really get to him, and they just didn't. And Luis Castillo's a really good pitcher. Maybe hasn't gotten off to the world's greatest start, but he's a really good pitcher, and he did what really good pitchers maybe have more of an ability to do than lesser pitchers, and that sort of changed the direction of things. And, you know, I thought his shutdown inning after the Mariners retook the lead was, you know, a nice sign of that for him. Not nice for the Rangers. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I said this in the network post. If, you know, if the Rangers had scored 10 runs each of the last three games, then we'd just say, hey, you know, they had some good at-bats and the breaks didn't go their way. But they haven't. And, you know, they have not been producing offensively like we expect this team to produce. And so that context obviously impacts the feel of things. But hopefully the Rangers can reset and come back ready to go this weekend, because I know the Reds aren't a household name or anything, but they've been playing good baseball. They obviously swept the Rangers last year for whatever that, you know, means to people, but
revenge series.
They're an athletic team. They score some runs, and the Rangers are going to have their hands full.
And will the pitching be anywhere close to what the Mariners just ran out there?
No. It won't. And you know, that's the Rangers. There isn't a rotation that has the talent in it that the Mariners rotation has. You know, you can maybe make some arguments, cases that when the Dodgers are fully healthy, maybe a trio of Glasnow and Yamamoto and Kershaw, but I 1 through 5, the Mariners are really good. The Reds have talent in their rotation. It's young talent that's still trying to come into its own, and the Rangers are missing the guy who I think is maybe the Reds' best pitcher. That's TCU's Nick Lodolo. Hunter Green is super talented. The Rangers will face him Saturday, but yeah, not the same caliber of pitching. But probably a better lineup. I shouldn't say probably, definitely a better lineup, and you know, an athletic group as well.
How about our guy Cole Wynn today? I mean, what's the excitement level for him right now? He's played pretty well, and it seems like I heard Nadell talk about like having a conversation with him, really embracing and appreciating this role that he's in, because you know, hey, 1 or 2 innings, boom, I'm out.
Yeah, and he's been really good, and you know, I talked about this with him last week, and there is undoubtedly pressure when you are a first-round pick. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to go well for you, and some guys handle it, you know, better or differently than others. But I think Cole Wynn has found a role in which he can separate the pressure and expectations. You know, right now it's not, well, first-round pick Cole Wynn, pitching as a reliever with some sort of disappointing conveyance and sharing that, you know, that reality. It's, hey, Cole Winn has been a really good reliever for this team, and you know, maybe he does get opportunities to start in the future. Maybe this, you know, this role as a reliever is helping him build confidence, and the Rangers decide in the offseason, hey, Cole, let's give this starting thing a shot again. If not, we know we can fall back on you as a reliever. Or maybe this is home for him. There are certain guys who just, they are better fits for the bullpen than they are the rotation. And I don't know if we know for sure that that's the case with Cole, but what we do know is that so far through four outings as a big league reliever, he looks really good, and it doesn't appear to be smoke and mirrors. He's locating a mid to high 90s fastball really well, and he's throwing a high 80s slider really well too. I mean, that pitch to a right-handed hitter, he did this a few times today, started it over the outer half of the plate. It breaks just off the plate. It's a very tough pitch to barrel up, and a lot of times you're going to get swings and misses. I mean, hey, six innings, he hasn't allowed a single hit yet. You know, he has looked really good. And would you have loved for the story to be Cole Winn, a huge part of your rotation, considering he was a first-round pick, five, 6 years ago? Sure, and maybe one day that is the story. But I think the key here in these situations is that you're still finding a way to make Cole Winn a useful, productive member of the team. And, you know, we know last year, even though the Rangers won the World Series, they almost didn't even make the playoffs. And if they didn't, the bullpen would have been the biggest culprit. The bullpen is still a valuable group, and Cole Winn has been a part of the solution of an improved bullpen so far this year.
Guys, I've just been informed there is no break until 5:16. Of course, we will have to pause for a legal ID at the top of the hour, but that means we are in the midst of a double expressway Thursday, Chief.
Here we go. On a draft Thursday right now, in the middle of a postseason run for the Mavs and the Stars and a Rangers game day. This is the height of sports excitement right now.
And it's exciting because I have some interesting things to ask Jared about. I didn't want to have to be rushed. You know what I'm saying, Jared?
Oh, for sure. And hey, I just want to let everyone know that Uber Eats, they're my best friends. And they're bringing home run deals all season long. And our conversation's brought to you by all our great friends, all the great Uber drivers and Uber Eats drivers, who they really make those home run deals happen, you know?
Yes, sir. What's the buzz on Max's outing last night, throwing 92, 93, gave up a couple of bombskis, 52 pitches and 2 1/3?
I think more of the buzz is about his comments post-game that umpires should be subject to relegation, much like soccer teams. That was great. I actually spoke to him about that today. But there really isn't a ton of buzz about the nitty gritty of the performance. I think the key here is he threw 52 pitches, and he is in line to make another appearance, rehab appearance, I believe, on Monday. That's really all it is. I mean, I would say that this appearance is the equivalent of somewhere in between his first and second appearance in a spring training game, right? You know, first game action on the mound. He's got a little more build up, a little more work than a pitcher might if he was healthy and ready to throw on February 28th in a Cactus League game, but somewhere in that range. So not too concerned about the numbers. Would obviously don't want the velocity to drop. It would be great if the velocity ticks up maybe a half mile an hour with the fastball on average. But just the fact he came out of it healthy is a good sign.
How about Sporzy and Jonathan Hernandez, like yesterday's winner? How have they looked?
Let me tell you something. Jonathan Hernandez, to me, has always been a guy who has this great, sinking fastball that, for whatever reason, doesn't generate the type of ground balls you'd expect. You know, think of Sam Dyson when he was a Ranger, and it just seemed like guys would pound balls in the dirt right in front of the plate, and some of that is command. But then Johnny also throw this, high 80s, sometimes low 90s slider, and it just didn't seem to have the type of response against hitters that you would expect with a pitch that, is thrown with that much power. Well, Johnny's slider yesterday looked really, really good. And consistency is key with him. I think we talked about this yesterday, maybe. The C word, consistency. It's not about the raw ability. It's maybe there's a mental component, but it's about consistency. So, let's see how it looks next time out and the time after that and the time after that. But I'll tell you, I don't know that I recall seeing Jonathan Hernandez's slider look as sharp as it did yesterday. And I spoke to him about it today, and he feels like that pitch is performing and behaving better than it ever has. He feels a level of confidence with that pitch that he hasn't had. So, that's interesting. With Josh Spores, we know what he can do, obviously. I think with Josh, it's just a matter of staying healthy. Nice to have him back out on the mound. And all of a sudden, guys, you take a step back, you look at this bullpen, again, they maybe need to earn their stripes to, you know, be considered a bullpen that just scares the, you know, heebie-jeebies out of you if you're down, you know, through five innings as an opposing team. But Jose Leclerc in his role right now as a non-closer has been really good. Robertson, Yates, Spores, you know, you expect big things from them. We talked about Cole Winn, just talked about Jonathan Hernandez. And then how about Jacob Latz, who's been good, save for one outing? And then Jose Ureña's been really good. This is a much deeper group than what the Rangers had last year. And I think it's going to help them win games and help them. You know, I know they didn't come back. This is a perfect example, this game today. I know they didn't come back and win, but the bullpen helped them stay in the game. Right after Andrew Heaney left, and Andrew did a nice job, six innings, but the bullpen helped them stay in the game. Mm-hmm. The bullpen last year enters the game down 4-3, and the Rangers are down 6-3, and then maybe 7-3, and it's just kind of out of hand, right? The bullpen this year is more equipped to keep the Rangers in games in addition to helping protect leads.
Is it fair, Jared, to throw John Gray in that mix at all, or is that just such a blue moon situation and maybe in the postseason when you need it?
Yeah, I would say that probably more of that, more of the latter there. And I'd add a caveat. Let's say Max Scherzer comes back and he's really good. And let's say Tyler Mahle comes back in early July and he's really good. And you know, hopefully we'll find out something on Cody Bradford. And now you're kind of sitting there, and let's say this is one of these perfect worlds where pretty much everyone is still healthy. Maybe one guy, you know, in that whack-a-mole is down, and you're looking, you're like, gosh, you know, who's not going to be in the rotation? And maybe John Gray has pitched well, but not he hasn't blown you away as a starter. Or maybe he's struggling to give you length. Whatever it might be. That's a scenario in which it would maybe make sense. But, you know, I think John's done a nice job. I mean, his strikeout rate is as high as it's ever been. It's, you know, one of the better strikeout rates in the big leagues. And so I do think, Eric, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I haven't given thought to, man, how good would John Gray be out of the bullpen? But I think he can also be really good as a starter, and we've seen that. And also because of what I just shared with, you know, the depth of the current state of the bullpen, there doesn't feel like the need. When John pitched out of the bullpen last week, remember, it's towards the end of the 17-game and 17-day stretch. You didn't have Spores. Hernandez wasn't ready. You had guys who were down because of usage in the days leading up. So there were a lot of factors that kind of played into that, that gave Bruce Bochy the freedom to maybe use John in that role.
And what's the explanation for the Evan Carter power that we're seeing with these home runs? Is it the offseason bulk plan just paying off?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think that this is beyond expectation, right? You know, he had five home runs last year in the regular season in 23 games, and he has four home runs in the regular season through 23 games this year, right? So, you know, Evan's probably not a guy who's going to hit 40 home runs, but I absolutely think he's a guy who can live in that, you know, 25, maybe a really good year, low 30s. I mean, he's a really good hitter. And, you know, I think we've become somewhat accustomed to guys over the last 10 years or so who they come to the big leagues, or even before that, they enter the professional ranks with power, but they don't necessarily have some of the foundational hitting skills. When I was growing up, I remember hearing the refrain over and over and over that power is the last thing to come because guys work on developing some of those foundational hitting skills. And, you know, the launch angle stuff, the change in approach, that all contributes to the evolution of that. But Evan Carter's old school in that regard. He was drafted with strong foundational hitting skills, patience, plate discipline, you know, a good approach, pitch recognition. And when the Rangers got their hands on him, other than keeping him healthy, the primary objective was, all right, now let's add some slug to it. And it was not like, gosh, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get this guy to hit for some power, but if he ever does, watch out. It was just a matter of, okay, hey, we got a lot to work with here. Let's start tapping into the power. But, you know, if you're with Evan Carter, you're around him, you've been next to him, Eric. I mean, he's not a small guy. He's got that, you know, the lankiness for the extension to generate power. He is strong. And so I don't think that the power is a huge surprise. And I think, you know, he sort of clued you in on that last year with the power he showed in the regular season and then what he did in the postseason. You know, the nine doubles, a lot of people tell you that, you know, doubles are an indication of home run power, right? You know, typically it's not just ground balls down the line. You know, you're hitting gaps, and, you know, guys who can hit for doubles power are typically guys who have potential to hit for home run power.
When the power come around for you at the plate, Jared?
Man, my power peaked when I was 11 years old, guys. I hit my first ever home run. My dad missed it. He never missed anything. He left the game early. We were blowing out the Cardinals. Someone got hurt. I raised my hand because we needed someone to hit for the guy who got hurt. I hit a home run. My dad was crushed. The next day, I think, was Mother's Day. But even though it was Mother's Day, I told my dad I'd hit you two home runs. I didn't believe it. Sure enough, the very next day, first two at-bats, home runs, and I didn't hit a home run over the fence after that ever again.
You got him, though, dude. That was epic.
It was pretty cool. I walked out of the Little League complex that day or whatever field. I was like, I was pretty sure. It was just a matter of, like,
show.
It was like, am I going to be, like, fast-tracked to the majors, or is it going to take me, like, 3 or 4 years? But I walked out of there, all, like, 4'3" of me, thinking, like, yep, let's start making plans for the big leagues.
What was your average that year?
Oh, I crushed back then. I was a good little hitter back when guys threw like 50 miles an hour. I could hit the 50 mile an hour fastball really well.
Gosh, your eye at the plate was like Evan Carter's.
Well,
man.
And yeah, I mean, I was so short too.
So
it probably was a pain in the ass for people to try and throw me strikes.
How sad is it though? You walk out of the park, you never knew that that was going to be the last time you ever went yard, man.
Yeah, I became way too mechanical with my swing and became an opposite field spray hitter. I wish I would have just loosened up a little bit, but that's all right.
Could have been one of the great ones, man.
Could have been. What could have been, guys, for sure.
Thanks, Jared. Have a great night. Rangers-Reds up next. Pregame tomorrow night, 6:30.
Yeah, let's do it, fellas. Yeah, let's do it. Cowboys trading all their draft picks for Zeke?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, I know he's a free agent, but...
But they're going to try and figure something out where they can give up a bunch of picks for Zeke today. Yeah,
but aren't they all in? Let's have someone else sign Zeke. So the Cowboys can go all in and trade all their picks for Zeke.
Sounds like about par for the course. Wouldn't be surprised if it happens, Jared. Have a great night.
You too.
There he goes, Jared Sandler. He's a must-follow for Rangers fans on social, at Jared Sandler there on X. Okay, we're off and running now. NFL draft, very exciting. And we have Wolchuk and Broadus and the draft show coming up at 6 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, Chiafalo is going to walk you through every NFL draft rumor of importance for you. Okay, that's coming up in about 12 minutes. Let's get this show started. And Chief, I believe draft day is a day that deserves and demands optimism. You know, now, cynicism, as you just heard from Jared Sandler, is never far off with this football team. And, you know, it can be a challenge for me to stay optimistic. But here's what I got for you in that vein today. This is what they do best. The draft, you know, and specifically drafting offensive linemen. I can get excited about this team by tomorrow night going into day three. Deliver me maybe a tackle tonight or a center. Tomorrow night, get the opposite spot secured. And then in round three, get me a dynamic running back who I can imagine having like that 1,300-yard rookie season with 4.7 yards per attempt, because you got young legs, you got Tyler Smith, Zach Martin, Terrence Steele, who's actually a good running tackle, you know.
A year removed from the injury, probably the better version of himself.
I've just thought the Cowboys have not arrived in the playoffs with the ability to run the football since January. That's the last time they were able to light up the scoreboard other than that game against the pathetic Buccaneers team. You know, You put Dak in that setting, you put this offense in that setting, and, you know, who knows in this NFC what they could be capable of doing next January. I could then begin to see it, but I need great grades on two linemen and a runner. And Jerry, if you're listening, I think that would get a lot of Cowboys fans excited if you actually rediscovered the ability to be physical in the run game.
Yeah, and you know what's awesome is that's all there for the taking. Yeah. I mean, they will have opportunities at exactly that. Lineman, back.
Yep.
And then you can go ahead and feel like, all right, now you have a little bit more of a foundation here offensively. We all know how important the offensive line is just in general, but specific to this team, we know how much better this team is when they have an offensive line that can really get after you and a rushing attack that can soften up a defense here and then allow really Dak to spray it around the field. So I'm with you. I think perfect scenario, perfect world. The Cowboys would love to have tackle, center tackle, and then you can start attacking running back and all that other stuff, linebacker, whatever you need later on in the draft. But that would be the home run in my mind as well.
Do you have a preference of who they get at 24?
Well, I mean, Wolchuk and Broadus, the Graham Barton thing, they have sold the heck out of me on. So that's perfect world scenario, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be necessarily realistic. The love for these linemen is huge. I think now you're hoping that this, you know, the Oklahoma Sooner offensive tackle is there, Tyler Guyton. Or perhaps Zach Frazier, maybe you trade down and then you get the center out of West Virginia who seems like he's a pretty nasty dude that you wouldn't mind having there at a spot that you really need. So you will have options, but I think the Graham Barton option is now a long shot, and you're sort of hoping for can Tyler Guyton be there from Oklahoma?
What happens if Guyton and Barton are gone? From what Zach and Brian were saying yesterday, don't expect the Cowboys to draft Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. Seems like this dude has like baggage in every category. He brought one of each to the draft day, and people are just a little bit concerned about what we don't know, what we aren't hearing.
Well, if you want a little early Todd Archer Bomski, the Cowboys. So if the offensive line situation runs out on you at 24, and now you're kind of going, what do we do now? Obviously, you're going to want to trade down, but he says if you're unable to find a workable trade down, so you're at 24, no offensive lineman there that you love, you can't find a trade down, and now they're left with their top players being on the defensive side of the ball, maybe. And he throws out a name, Missouri edge rusher Darius Robinson, who was a 30 visit. And Archer says he doesn't think linebacker would be an option. So if the well runs dry at offensive line and you're thinking, okay, you go fill the linebacker need, Archer's saying probably not. They would go with maybe an edge rusher that they like who was a 30 visit out of Missouri. I don't know anything about this guy, Darius Robinson, but edge rusher, that's what you default to in a situation where you're trying to figure out, okay, we lost some of our guys. Don't pivot to a position like linebacker or running back. That's the nightmare scenario, is you trade down and you draft one of these linebackers or running backs in the first round. It would just be gut-wrenching.
Yeah, that's where it would get really, really interesting. Now I think you go away from the idea of rebuilding your offensive line to get Dak a little bit better protection and to establish a physical running game, which I know Mike McCarthy would love to do. And now you're talking about getting better on defense, maybe trying to pick up the best center as that position has significant stretch into the second round. I guess Tyler Smith goes out to tackle in this scenario now, which puts that in flux as well. I think it's pretty important that Guyton or Barton are available there for the Cowboys at 24 for me to be super optimistic by the time we get to the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find somebody that's willing to deal with you on a trade and you can move down a few spots and still secure a center out of West Virginia like Zach Frazier, now I can still feel pretty good about it. Morgan, another offensive tackle who may be considered more of a guard for them, but I think like if you really want to make sure you're getting a lineman, I think you'll be able to do that. It's just, do you want to reach for one at 24, or can you find somebody to dance with you? And it sounds like there are some teams that maybe at the back end of this first round want to move up and go get a guy, so it might work out for you where all your tackles aren't there, you trade down a few spots, you stay in round one, and you draft that center out of West Virginia, and I wouldn't be upset about that at all.
I love it. Okay, there's some draft talk for you, and again, Chief, in 6 minutes, we'll have every single draft rumorooski. That's not a tease. We're going commercial-free all the way till about, 6 o'clock or so. Stay tuned. Extra Innings, by the way, was brought to you by Uber Eats, delivering home run deals to your front porch. Okay, I do want to bring up a little bit of a sore subject. I mean, that Stars game was exciting, right up until the empty netter. I was like, man, it could happen. Playoff hockey is just tremendous.
Oh, dude. They came out yesterday with their hair on fire. Yeah. You felt that Brian Broaddus desperate team theory. Like, you could feel the desperation right out of the gates. And we were calling him out for the lack of physicality a little bit in game one, where Vegas is out hitting you, basically like they're doubling you up there, and you can just sense the more physical team. But that first period was like, oh my gosh, dude, Marchment just crushing White Cloud, right there to start the game. You had Robertson getting after Stone a little bit. I think they finished with like 24, 25 hits in the opening period alone. So they came out crushing. You just have a brain fart situation there at the very end to allow them to go into the intermission tied at one after you really just dominated the first period. That was so frustrating.
All right, I've been informed there's somebody on line 10 that needs to talk to us.
Yeah, I got a breakthrough real quick here.
Okay.
Hello, you there, line 10?
Hello, line 10. What's going on?
Hey, Brian Broaddus, the only voice we want to hear right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was driving to the Star right now, and you guys are doing a heck of a job. The post game for the Rangers was outstanding. But I wanted to throw something out there if you're talking about some moving around and things like that. Something the Cowboys need to be worried about is a couple of different areas in this draft that I was getting some vibes from. That the pick ahead of them, that pick that belongs to the Vikings, could end up in the Chargers' hands. So there's some thought there that maybe that a team you need to watch from the back coming ahead of the Cowboys because of an offensive tackle, say that they do get the opportunity, maybe Guyton does slide to them. Well, San Francisco might be a team that would be trading with the Chargers at that pick in order to draft the tackle ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So you got to be ready of a couple different scenarios. I was talking to some folks in Green Bay today. They have similar needs. They're right behind you. They have some similar needs, but they're looking at cornerback is one that they're looking at. But they're also a team that might be willing to bail out of there. So this you have to worry about. If there's somebody coming from the end of the round up, and maybe it's the only team trying to trade up, but they call Green Bay and get the deal instead of calling you and get the deal, then that leaves you in a little bit of some trouble right there. So just a couple of things that you're going to have to deal with. Who is going to pick in front of you if Minnesota moves this pick and San Francisco could be that team that's trading ahead of you? You've got to be very, very mindful that that could happen tonight.
Do you think the Cowboys could trade up into that pick themselves or even higher up to get a better player?
Man, it just does not sound like that they're interested in going up right now. The team that's super aggressive about wanting to go up, believe it or not, is the Philadelphia Eagles. They're trying to get into the top 10. There's a couple of teams trying to get into the top 10. The Rams are the other team. They're trying to get one of those receivers, or they're trying to get Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. Those are the two names I've kind of heard of the two positions there. The Eagles are hunting a cornerback, but they're also hunting an offensive tackle. They're trying to move up and get in there and maybe get Fuaga, the guard tackle from Oregon State that everybody seems to have fallen in love with behind Alt. So some teams are trying to move that direction to go north. But I have not heard the Cowboys as being one of those teams.
Have you seen Zeke up there?
No, I'm actually at Windhaven Parkway right now. So, no, I have not yet got to the facility yet.
So you can't confirm or deny that Wooly Bully is following through on his promise to be shirtless in a bow tie either then, huh?
I cannot confirm or deny that either yet. Again, give me about 15 minutes. I'll be able to confirm that one for you.
Brother, I will be by the phone if anything else happens in the next hour. I think we're going to cross with you here coming up in about 45 minutes or so. We look forward to you just dominating the coverage as always tonight, my man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And thanks, everybody out there that's listening to us tonight. It's going to be a fun 3 days, and look forward to chopping it up with you guys here in a little bit.
Salute. There he is.
He's love you, legend.
Brian brought us on X, the number one influencer on Cowboys Social. And he's got your draft coverage coming up in just over an hour from now. Okay, we'll briefly touch on Stars, Mavs, thoughts on the Rangers, the other big headlines. Then Chiafalo has a full report here of the top draft buzz items from all around the league. We're just going to pause 10 seconds for station identification here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105 through the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.